When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. David, you know this, but we should let everyone know you're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and IDOT. It's not a game. Illinois.com.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, we made it to Friday. It is going to be a more peaceful day around the city today, a little bit more.
Well, maybe
relaxed
maybe
in terms
now
of the getting places.
Did the city learn that snow comes and you ought to be prepared?
First one's always tough.
First one's always tough. What is it? Like you forgot to check the battery on the snowplow?
You get lulled into a sense of security. It's understandable. Get the first one out of the way.
Barely understandable.
Yeah, it was a difficult
day
getting
around.
What happened
to Jane Byrne? What happened to her?
Well,
snow,
where'd she go?
Snow will fell a mayor.
I was a little surprised. I will say that how much snow was on the roads after our show yesterday, after a little workout here.
We were in the midst of an actual snowstorm, and it was like I was on Lakeshore Drive, impassable. That's impossible.
In the grips. I like to say in the grips.
Oh, it was
rather than in the midst.
Well,
in the grips sounds more
the grips.
Menacing.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah, that bloody snowstorm had us by the throat for about
an
hour.
Yes, it did. But we persevered, and today a little bit more mild.
Speak for yourself.
The weekend.
I did not persevere.
Okay,
I muttered swear words.
Oh, wow. You too.
I got my language went foul.
But that, what's different from any other day when you're driving?
That's a good point.
You know,
it's a fair point.
It goes with the territory.
That's true.
Made it through Thursday. Big weekend ahead. Big night last night at the United Center. I have to say that. Speaking of just winter weather, winter feel, I never really thought, seriously, the Hawks were going to beat the defending Stanley Cup champions, especially on a night when Connor Bedard does not have a shot on goal. And yet, they beat the Panthers.
Is that most nights anymore? Is that 11 in a
Stop.
Row?
Stop.
Give me the yo. Holy cow.
Don't jump off the bandwagon yet.
I'm not off the
way
bandwagon.
Way too early.
I already said.
Way too early.
Shelly went 40 games. He was a defender. When he gets to 40, I'll get worried.
He won't get to 40.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. That line played pretty responsible.
Did you think
defensively?
Think it would get to 11?
No, I did not think it'd get to 11.
Okay,
missing the point. The point is the Hawks won. They beat the Panthers.
I'm aware.
Mrazek was terrific in net. The Panthers came in thinking the Hawks were going to be like one of the worst teams in the league. Took them for granted. Looked ahead. Shame on them. But good for the Hawks. Big night, the UC.
Yeah, congratulations to the Blackhawks on a nice victory. I wish they would help their young star, whatever way possible, whatever that means.
He played on the wing again. Jason Dickinson was centering that line. Mm-hmm. I don't really like that experiment. It feels experimental, but he's got to get going. They'll keep him out of the face-off circle, so that's one of the reasons why. But nonetheless, they win.
They're at the Flyers.
They go to Philadelphia Saturday. So I didn't see as much of the snow game on Thursday Night Football as I typically would watch a Thursday Night Football game. I stayed for a lot of the Hawks game, but I think I missed a pretty good one.
Well,
this is not Aloha Stadium, by the way, in case you're wondering. Second and six.
This is AFC North football, baby.
It is.
It's Ohio weather, baby. I love it.
Yes, baby.
Kirk Herbstreit leaning into it.
He was, baby.
So was Jameis Winston.
Yeah, he was very happy to play snow.
He played
that fourth quarter. It really was like it was a whole paradigm shift. Like we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back to back drives with turnovers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh! Like this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting like my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And it was so great to end up getting that win.
It seemed like he had fun.
Nothing like Jameis Winston talking about a paradigm shift.
I think the squishing in the snow was the highlight.
Do you think so? That guy, is he going to end up in a studio after he's done?
It sounds
he's
like
very
it.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
And it was a snow globe game. A snow globe game.
it did become kind of a thing where you're like, wow, it's really coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was starting to stick, and it was fun.
So a 3-8 team beats an 8-3 team. That's hopeful for the team that is
such
overmatched on Sunday at Soldier Field.
See, I'm going to argue with you on that one.
Okay, I'm ready.
They might not be overmatched. They might be as good as the Vikings. They just don't
All right, let me rephrase that.
Overcoached?
It's encouraging for the team that is not expected to win Sunday at Soldier Field.
Yeah, but they're 3.5-point dogs. It's not like they're...
They're still not expected to win.
No.
It's factually correct statement.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But
you go, girl.
I'm just saying, the team that you didn't think was going to win last night won.
And that's the NFL.
It's the NFL. Good reminder. Right? It's a good reminder.
I mean, this Pittsburgh statistic that's out there is just an absurdity, but it's apparently real.
The Thursday night on the road against AFC North opponents, they're winless under Mike Tomlin.
How is that possible?
Didn't think that was possible.
I mean, it's...
It implies that they're not prepared, which is ridiculous because they're always prepared.
But if that's his only weakness, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I think so.
But, man, that's... I don't think the weather had anything to do with it. I believe if you watch the game, they were ahead late. So it's a mystery wrap.
But the weather had
that's in a box.
The weather had to have had something to do with it.
Sure.
The weather dictated a lot of that game. Browns get a victory. Nick Chubb, Winston, they did what they needed to do. Congrats! That's probably the highlight of their season.
You know, I got to tell you, it was a pretty bad season. It's been a bad season for the Browns, but that was a good game for them. And it's kind of, when you're looking at the NFL these days, there are teams that are capable of surprising other teams. And I think the Bears, I know they got their work cut out for them, but maybe they're capable of surprising the Vikings.
They definitely are capable.
It's hard to lose 5 in a row, David.
Yeah, well.
You need to make some real blunders.
They have done it before, though, not that far long ago.
Very true.
But they are capable of beating the Vikings, just like they were capable of beating the Packers. They have not been overmatched. That's what makes this so frustrating. The Bears have a roster that is better than 4-6, and they have been in many, 22, I believe, one-score games and outcomes under Matt Eberflus in 3 seasons.
Tevin Jenkins, full participant in practice.
Mm-hmm.
He's back, baby. We don't know for how long, but he is back.
5-17 in those games, though, as I finished that one. Tevin Jenkins is back.
DeAndre Swift, limited, but back in a limited capacity. Isn't that necessary on a Thursday, and now it's Friday,
mm-hmm.
and you're heading towards Sunday? You need your running back.
Right.
So
good. He missed a day of practice.
Yeah.
As they said, he's rested, had a groin situation. But
he's
probably going to play. The Vikings run defense best in the NFL. You need both those running backs.
Yes.
Need a little balance, and having him back certainly will help matters.
Yeah, I saw your guy Ovechkin broke a leg, huh? I thought that was meant for good luck, but apparently he's going to be out for a while. A left fibula fracture, and he's not breaking Gretzky's record anytime soon.
Well, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. He probably won't do that this year then. He is 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So his healing power or his recovery rate might be slower than it was when he was obviously a younger man. But with Ovechkin, I never know what to expect. I did not think that he would be leading the NHL
in
goals at 15 this early in the season. So I think it's bad for hockey, the fact that he's missing out for the next 6 weeks. And I think, obviously, it's good for people to want Gretzky's record preserved. But it was beginning to be fun to follow how many goals would he get game to game and would he score tonight. He was doing it very much like he has done it throughout his career. And I thought he was done, but no. I think that when he comes back, what's he got, 28 to go?
28 to tie it.
Be tough to do this year, especially coming back injured and getting back into the swing of things.
How many years he got?
I thought this might have been it. So if he's within striking distance, so I could see him coming back just to get it next year. The Caps, depending on how good of a team they will, he'll be returning to. Not sure, but That was unfortunate. I know Ovechkin's not the most popular guy. He is fun to watch as a hockey player, though.
But how can something be bad for hockey when it's good for Gretzky? Aren't they synonymous?
Well, you can be fans of Wayne Gretzky and still like the watch the chase or the pursuit of somebody breaking his record. I don't know that I don't think it's either or. Are you happy he's injured?
I wouldn't say I'm happy he's injured, but I don't want to get into politics.
I never did.
I thought you brought up Putin.
I did not.
I thought you mentioned Putin.
Okay, let's move on.
Didn't you say Putin's puppet?
Let's move on.
Did I misunderstand?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, no, we were talking about... Oh,
no. You brought up Ovechkin.
I'm sorry. I did bring it up.
Yeah.
And you said it was bad for hockey. Okay. Yeah, let's move on. There are some big football games coming up, buddy. There's a big Bulls game tonight, NBA Cup. High time they win a game on that red floor. That's a big deal. But really, it's about college football. That Indiana-Ohio State game is the eyes of the nation will be upon it. And this will be a real watershed moment, I think, for Indiana. I expect them to be ready to go.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, I expect the quarterback.
It'll be competitive. The quarterback's going to play. I think Indiana will still find the going very tough against Ohio State because of the depth, some of the other realities. And the danger when you have these great seasons like Indiana's put together, they're unbeaten, they're a top five team, and it is one of those can you believe it type of years. Kurt Cignetti has maximized the talent on that roster and taken advantage of the situation. He's got an 8-year contract now. I think this all setting up to have a 2-touchdown loss and everybody wondering about the legitimacy of their season, which I hate because I think that it's going to be more likely the outcome that they're going to fall short. I would love to see them upset Ohio State. I would love to see them competitive down to the final possession. More likely, as we see often in college sports, you're going to see them beaten and not measure up, a tough venue on the road, and then people will start to wonder about every one of their victories, even though every one of their victories has been decisive. So that's what I think we're looking at. The conversation will steer in that direction, but I still think that they deserve to be in the top 12.
I'm not arguing with you about that. I just wonder, is there, like when you say they are favored – Ohio State is favored by 13.5 points. That's basically 2 touchdowns. So if they cover the 2 touchdowns, they're in good shape. What would the number be where they're in bad shape? Like would it take like a 54-6 score?
If they get beaten 34-10, people are going to start to wonder if they belong in the 12-team playoff.
So it's more than 3 touchdowns.
I think probably.
Okay.
If it's 20. If it's 20 or more, then there's going to be some outrage if Indiana makes a 12-team playoff, even though with one loss and the only loss to Ohio State, you could make that claim. If it's more than 20 points, people are going to doubt their legitimacy and whether they belong. That's just that's the kind of conversations and arguments we're used to having in college football, whether it's a 4-team or 12-team playoff or whether it's the good old days when it was according to the AP poll. But Indiana needs to compete and stay within single digits. If it were one score game, it's a different conversation on Monday.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I think it's a weird thing to say, but we've learned in college football over the years that style points matter. They just do. And that's the way the committee members will look at it. That's the way all the national rankings will look at it. It's just, it doesn't matter if you're on the road or if you're, you know, supposed to lose by 13 and a half points. If it gets over 17, 21, then all of a sudden you're a bum and you never should have gotten a shot. And meanwhile, Notre Dame is also playing an undefeated team, which is very interesting. Army is, I believe, 18th in the country in the AP poll. We know the Irish have taken care of business since losing their loss to Northern Illinois, a home loss to Northern Illinois. Are you going to be keeping a close eye on the Army game, or do you think that, you know, whenever you're talking about kind of the service schools, it's very difficult for them to compete?
I will be surprised if that's a close game. It shouldn't be, just because of the with due respect to Army, I don't think Notre Dame physically should be matching up with Army. They should be well coached enough to play the discipline style of defense you're going to have to play to stop Army's option attack and quarterback, who's a great athlete. That Notre Dame defense is up to the task. So the Army game.
Do you like watching option football?
I love watching option football.
Especially because it's so rare these days, right?
Army and Navy and maybe a couple other teams
try it. It's fun because it's a different type of football. You get to see stuff you don't normally see.
Yeah, you definitely do. And that's the football that I learned growing up. And I love the responsibilities. I love the way that you can see teams who are lesser athletes and not as physical as other teams beat them just by outnumbering them. Notre Dame can't fall into that trap. I think that game won't be as close as Indiana-Ohio State. Of the two games on Saturday, Notre Dame and Army should be a wider margin of victory for the Irish than Ohio State should have against Indiana.
That's interesting because Notre Dame is favored by 14. It's really a half a point difference between the two lines, but I think you're probably correct.
I think Indiana is better equipped to keep the game close than Army is against Notre Dame. Indiana has a better chance of keeping Ohio State within reach than Army does of Notre Dame, even as though it's at New York. It might feel like a home game for Notre Dame just because of all the fans that will flock to go there. Right. I know some people going from Chicago just to follow Notre Dame.
That's at Yankee Stadium,
Yankee Stadium, yeah.
That's super cool. We have been fortunate enough to see a hockey game at Yankee
Stadium. That was a cool event, yeah.
It's cool. It's just cool. The building's cool. And
Winter Classic Yankee Stadium.
It's cool.
So it's a good place for a football game as well. Army, you know, the thing about option football is that you can reduce the game by controlling the ball and eating the clock, and you can avoid the kind of things. The problem isn't typically offensively. The problem can come up defensively, where you often see the mismatches or just the athleticism and the gap between the type of athlete the Army has on its roster and the type of athlete that Notre Dame does.
That Notre Dame quarterback, you never know. You just never know week to week.
Riley Leonard is a tremendous runner.
He's a great runner of the ball.
Really resourceful guy with the football under his arm. But throwing it's a different story. Yeah. He hasn't had the touch on the deep ball, and I don't think that he has been the passer maybe they thought he could be. But he's a competitor. He's
good
a leader.
Player.
He's a very good player.
It's just you just don't know what you're getting week to week. You just don't know. I've watched them some weeks, and it's like, wow, he's good today. I've watched them other weeks where you're like, oh.
Their defense travels well, though, and that gives them an opportunity to kind of wait until he gets going. They've got some really good running backs, and they've got a Notre Dame offensive line that has kind of rounded into shape. And in this 8-game win streak, they're scoring 42 points a game, so it seems kind of silly to quibble over the quarterback, even though I think he has not looked like a polished passer at times, and that keeps – it keeps them in from starting as fast as sometimes they should start. They're going to run the ball probably all over Army, though.
What do you think about unanimous MVPs in baseball? Any surprise? I think we all knew who the MVPs were, and it ended up being just, I guess the amazing thing to me remains that Shohei Ohtani a full-time DH is the MVP of the National League, and here's a guy who this is his rehab year, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the year where he just needs to get better so he can get back to doing the things he does best. Which
50-50
is
though.
Well, it's just insane.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And you know, Aaron Judge doing what he did, these are two historic figures in baseball.
Yep.
Maybe the guy that by the time he's done, Ohtani's going to be referred to as the best who ever did it.
Yeah.
And Aaron Judge is going to make his own mark. And it just it's a fascinating time in baseball right now because of these two guys and the type of season that Ohtani put together. I wonder if I were the Dodgers and he still can pitch.
Would you even bother with it?
Would you bother with it? If it takes away from his everyday approach at the plate, if you think it might cut into his offensive production, I wouldn't mess with it. You're dealing with somebody who's as close to perfect offensively as you're going to get, and I just don't know that you would mess around with that. Get your outfielder, fill your hole in your roster if you think you have one. You're the defending World Series champions, and until you need Ohtani.
Do you think they have one? Here's the thing about them. It feels like they're going to try to win as many World Series as possible while they have Ohtani. It's a different feeling than you get from every other team in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine they're going to try to get the most out of everything they have. And I mean, they could. Like, I'm not predicting they will, and I don't even know. But they could sign anyone they want.
And they might get Soto because of that reality.
Yes.
Yeah, they have the best TV deal in baseball. They could absorb his contract because they're paying Ohtani kind of – they circumvented the system and, you know, $2 million next year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So Juan Soto in the same lineup as Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts, Soto gets to choose that option versus playing in the Yankees lineup with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and those guys. It's a great situation to be in for Soto. If you're the Dodgers, I would not rule them out of anything.
Is it good for baseball that you got unanimous MVPs with the two highest spending teams?
I don't like that. No, I don't like the fact that free agency will underscore just how far apart everyone is from the Dodgers and the Yankees, and maybe to a lesser degree the Mets and the big spenders and the teams that are in the Soto sweepstakes and the teams that were in the Ohtani sweepstakes. There's a group of five or so, the group of five, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. You know, it's funny because we come off a World Series where, you know, you get a team in there that no one saw coming and the Rangers win it and they had spent money. But now last year happens and it's like it feels like the game is completely different than it felt a year earlier.
Yeah, although I have to say that we all kind of enjoyed the Dodgers-Yankees element of October.
Yep.
You know, that was nostalgic to a certain degree. And just because a team that, you know, you picked to win didn't win doesn't diminish that at all. But it is a case of, in baseball, very much the last 2 years, you get what you pay for, and there are haves and have-nots.
I love this text. What's amazing to me is baseball ended 3 weeks ago, and it takes this long to announce their season awards. Way to capitalize on that World Series.
It is kind of silly.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's also.
But we're talking about it.
We're talking about it, but they stagger it and they put it on an awkward time. It just doesn't make much sense.
I know.
You're choosing last night between the MLB awards and Thursday Night Football. College football was on in the four-letter network. And, you know, and I was at a hockey game. So I can't tell you what Aaron Judge said about being the MVP. I don't know.
I didn't feel like it was much of a choice. I just was going to watch football in football season. It never occurred to me to tune into the MLB awards. I was in front of the football game and I had, you know, whatever it's called, X, Twitter, Blue Sky. I don't even know the names of these things anymore. I had that going so I could see on social media what was happening.
I would like to see them do something to stoke the off season so it makes it start faster. Like right now between the end of Thanksgiving, let's say, and Christmas. Those, I'd like to see baseball structure something so there's an incentive to either make trades or sign free agents in that time frame.
Well, there's big news tonight. This is the DFA night, right? This is where teams have to get rid. They have the non-tender. There's the non-tender deadline. So if you're going to arbitration with someone, or you need to figure it out.
In Cubdom, known as Kyle Schwarber night.